Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Hurdle Apparel, high-tech socks, LER, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazine, UK Health Radio. Hey, everybody. Happy Teachers Appreciation Day. Who doesn't have a teacher in their past that they appreciate? We got a great doubleheader today. Mara McLaughlin, MS. She's an Oregon-based autism education advocate. She's program director at IRL Social Skills. She'll be joining me along with Gary Guerrero, head athletic trainer at New York City's U.S. Athletic Training Center. Then the Sports Doctor's in with some Dr. Bob Wisdom. Your emails. Mara McLaughlin, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. It's good to be here.
You know, the topic of autism, I think, affects almost every family in some way, shape, or form, whether in sports or not. And the idea of education and being able to understand, you know, what we're talking about in so many ways. Mara, give us some background on yourself and the world of autism.
I am a speech-language pathologist, and I am on the Oregon Commission for Autism, and I started IRL Social Skills because I was working in the schools, and I noticed that the autistic students who could speak, who were actually maybe doing well academically, were struggling socially. And that was going to be the biggest barrier to their success, Dr. Bob.
You know, it's interesting. Years ago, one of my former guests, Suzanne Gray, who's been involved in the world of autism for decades and who really, really talked about years ago and wrote about the fact that adding exercise and was such a positive ingredient, you know, as one of these things in the as autism has exploded in so many different areas, and the idea again of the school systems, you know, maybe needing definitely some push in being helpful in this whole organization of education is a big deal.
I agree, and that's something that I do recommend for all of the families that we serve is some sort of mind-body integration, so that they can be more less in their head and more integrated.
You know, you talk about, you write about the neurodivergent community. How would you define that?
Well, most people have the kind of brain or neurotype that fits under the fat part of the bell curve, right? Most people are what we call neurotypical, but then there are those who are on the lower ends of the bell curve, and those are the neurodivergent people. And neurodivergence encompasses a lot of different neurotypes, you know, including autism and ADHD, many more.
You know, it's such a huge area challenge, let alone in this day and age with social media and everything that's going on. What's amazing over the past 2 years, wherever my guests are from, internationally, locally, whatever their vocation, mental health, such at the top of the list in so many areas. And again, in the world of sports medicine, whether we're talking about the relationship of parents and their athletic youngsters who might be mixed in with some of these categories, or the whole idea of the pressure on some of these kids Do you find that the schools and or the medical community, you know, again, the ADHD, the over-medication in this whole world is a gigantic challenge.
Yeah.
Right? You're laughing. Yeah. I know.
I would tend to agree. And, you know, just like taking a pill doesn't help one learn the skills to, you know, make and keep friends, handle bullying, and be able to find a partner, to be able to get and keep a job, to be able to advance in employment. This entails learning skills. And our social demands increase as we get older. They don't decrease.
No, the topic of bullying has been a big topic in youth sports and sports medicine on my show for decades, give or take a few weeks. And whether it's talking to psychologists, whether it was talking to parent experts, whether it was talking to educational individuals, professionals like yourself, and all these years where I've featured, again, childhood obesity is a challenge and a discussion, we would find out from various experts that obesity was one of the top reasons when it came to bullying and whatever, let alone we'll throw in neurodivergent community. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, when one is, you know, peer rejected, socially isolated, shunned, excluded, ostracized, they don't know how to make a friend. They don't know how to keep a friend. No, they are lacking in things to do. So they're leading a more sedentary, they might be leading a more sedentary lifestyle.
You know, as a speech pathologist, and I'm sure you work with all sorts of different age groups, in general, just generally, how early do we start seeing attention noted with some of the neurodivergencies? Again, whether it's ADHD, whether it's the autism situation, when do parents start paying big attention to signs that there might be concerns?
Well, parents can, they'll start noticing their language development, you know, so there might be a lack of language development. They might not be talking, or they might be hyper-talkative, hyper-lexile, you know, speaking in complete sentences by the time they're 15 months old. So it kind of runs the gamut. It's called a spectrum for a reason. So something, parents tend to know that something is standing out in terms of their child, and they want to get some help. And, you know, a lot of people want to work with little kids, but we get older and our social demands increase and services decrease.
That's, you know, again, it's unfortunate when you hear about that, the term that the services decrease. What's the best site people could go to find out about you and your organization and group?
They can go to irlsocialskills.com. It stands for In Real Life, because these are the skills that you need to have a rich life in real life.
You know, it's interesting, again, in the area of sports medicine and or youth sports participation and how some of this mixes in when it comes to challenges of some of these kids where they're maybe taking advantage physically. Have you found, again, also that exercise, proper nutrition, wellness areas make a big difference in this whole world? Did you use the term spectrum? Did you?
I did, yeah. I used the term spectrum because it's called, you know, autism spectrum disorder. I don't really like the term disorder. I like to say difference. But, yeah, like having a holistic view of one's
That's
health.
A big point you just made. It's a big point you just made, Mara, where you like the term, forget disorder, let's talk about difference. Changing the label, which we've all grown up with, these labels, I think is important.
I do too. It really, you know, instead of saying, you know, they have autism, you know, like that sounds like they have cancer, you know, it's not a disease. It's a neurotype that's been here for 10,000 years that has distinct gifts and distinct challenges. And the challenges are with sensory processing, social interaction, and social communication.
Yeah, so you could be a genius, a savant, and still have these tremendous... I like that, in real life. That's a great title. That's so true. Again, as you mixed in some of these different challenges, is it the fact of that there's so much more awareness and the fact that autism or some of these disorders exist, or is it the fact that we're just really learning to identify them better? It seems it's so much more prevalent in schools. The so-called spectrum challenge. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a matter of identification. You know, the first autistic person was, you know, just who was identified in the U.S. recently died at like 100 years old. And people thought that autism was just for little white boys. But now, you know, as our awareness has increased, especially thanks to research being done by actually autistic researchers, we are realizing that there's a lot more autism and that autism frequently co-occurs with ADHD. And there's people, you know, from children to adults to old people.
You know, especially again in this day between the pandemic and social media, I really, good luck to you when it comes to, again, these psychological challenges in so many different areas. This is multiplied. So many concerns in these areas, again, from organized organizations. Are the schools, in your opinion, getting it and paying a lot more attention? It seems, on the one hand, that they are, and on the other hand, it seems that, we're treading water.
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of the schools, you know, they devote their resources to the students who are in need of more support, but it's those ones that are like, oh, well, they're really smart, so they're fine, but they don't know how they're... so full of anxiety, they don't know how to make and keep friends. They've been hurt and traumatized socially, and they are single trial learners, concrete thinkers. Oh, I'm never doing that again. So they don't develop these most critical skills. And we are humans, and humans are social.
How's the pediatric world been paying attention, as well as the psychology world, psychiatry world, regarding this importance of the whole social skills side of these challenges?
Well, let me tell you, Dr. Bob, not very well, quite frankly.
Right. It just, it's amazing. That's where the awareness comes in. That's where we've been paying attention to this. But we're making strides, right?
We are making strides. You know, we keep pushing.
You need the pediatric world big time, again, to be paying attention. And again, you need the elementary teachers' world also to be paying attention, to come up with positive strategies that pay big attention to, what'd you call it, in real life? Right.
Yeah, in real life. Yeah, a lot of people are, you know, want to put it in the medical world. People want to put it in one of two buckets. It's medical or behavioral. Autism is not either of those. It is a social disability.
Again, that definition.
And there's a lot of...
Yeah, well, especially when you're talking about all sorts of levels and the kinds of challenges like you talked about, whether it's the ability of these kids to socially do well, to move on to higher education, to adapt to being able to get a job or whatever. And I think that it's evident that we've been fooled in a lot of ways to be paying attention in some regard. Sometimes we would see this come out big time when it came to teamwork, teammates, and yep. youth sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that part's hard. We have a lot of students who are like they run cross country, right? I mean, you're on a team, but it's not like a fast paced game like basketball. Although, you know, we know that there are NBA players who are autistic. I mean, autism cuts yes. across every socioeconomic status.
Mara, give me the site again. I knew the time would fly with you. Give me the site again. People could find yep. out about you and IRL quickly.
Yeah, IRLSocialSkills.com.
IRLSocialSkills.com. Mara McLaughlin, thanks so much for joining me. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome Gary Guerrero. He's the head athletic trainer in New York City's U.S. Athletic Training Center. Gary Guerrero, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Hi, Bob. Good afternoon.
Great. You know, I know you've got some background between the Knicks, between the Rangers. Man, you must be flying high, my friend.
Very happy time of the year.
I'm telling you, give us some background, Gary, on yourself and the training center.
Okay, I've been doing this quite a while, almost 40 years, actually. And we started this
You're
office
catching up
in,
to me. Go ahead.
Yeah. We started this office in 94, and we've been, it was a performance center, physical therapy. We're kind of doing everything. I trained about half a dozen athletes for the NFL Combine over the years, several number one picks. I actually worked for the Rangers in 82 to 92. That was my first real pro job. In between there, I was working with the Knicks a lot. Funny story, I actually taught Patrick Ewing how to swim because his knees were bad and they wanted him in the pool.
Right, cross training.
Right. Way back when, you know, and he hated the water. So, and then in between there, I did my first Olympics in 84, where I worked with baseball and track and field, and started my Olympic awareness and working with some of the winter sports and just kind of kept going. Unfortunately, I had a little slowdown around 87. I got hit by a car while I was training. after doing some triathlons and had some surgeries, and then picked it back up again.
Wow. You know, the scenario again. And Mary Leonard has been a previous guest of mine, has been your colleague all these years.
All these years, yeah. We're a good work team.
Yes, former dancer in all her glory. We're saying hi. You know, Gary, when you work with pro teams and you throw in the multi-million dollar business, the pressure. Gary, can you get me better yesterday?
Exactly. And, the one thing that helps is they're very young. You know, they're young and they're hungry and they're eager. And that's the kind of population I enjoy working with, no matter if it's, amateur or professional. And I always wanted to bring the professional care that they get to the general population.
Well, one of the reasons, Gary, that I co-authored the book with Hall of Fame volleyballer Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was and is the epidemic of overuse injuries in youth sports, both physically and mentally. So many times, you know, and the more talented your son or daughter or young athlete is, the more the pressures many times really, really multiply, which is why we really like the supervision in the world of physical therapy. The sooner the better for some of these kids who are on traveling teams or club teams. How's your sports psychology skills, Gary?
They've gotten better over the years.
Right. You know, you're dealing with parents and coaches or owners and players themselves. Again, you know, one of my longtime guests, matter of fact, contributed to the book, Robert Andrews, the Institute of Sports Performance in Houston, Texas. He specializes in the mental training of post-injury athletes. It's such a big topic, isn't it?
Very important topic. And if they're not together mentally and on the same page, they're just not, they're not going to improve fast enough. And they have to be ready for it because it's a lot of work. And they're close to their situation because it's their bodies. And the more they can understand and the more you can work together with them, the better results you're going to get.
And how have you found the education? You know, again, you spent four decades with this whole challenge of the areas of awareness and education. How have you found, again, the parents and coaches' cooperation regarding, number one, that it's supposed to be about the kids in so many ways, yet, you know, discipline is such a big deal. Have you found the cooperation with coaches and parents when you're working with these young athletes, Gary?
Sometimes it can be very difficult. the coaches are all about winning. They're all about getting their kids to the next level. But I tell them it's got to make sense. If your kids aren't having fun, that's the number one thing. Because how many kids are actually going to go pro, right? So you got to make sure that it's safe for them, that they're learning, that they're getting good coaching, and they're going to enjoy themselves. Because that only builds the future for them in business and in their life.
You know, it's interesting at whatever level. By the way, what's the site, Gary, people can go find out about the training center?
USATC.com.
Okay, USATC.com. You know, again, with the scenario in many instances of the two things that matters to everybody. Number one, can I prevent problems? Can we prevent injuries? And number two, when indicated, can we enhance performance? Again, as a sports podiatrist, I spent forever paying huge attention to the role of the foot in sports and the fact that it affects all other areas of the body. And I make a big deal out of strengthening feet and ankles, working on balance. And you tune into that stuff a lot, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. That's a pivotal and most important role because your feet are like your tires in the car, right? If they're not running right, nothing else goes well. So
let alone if they're out of alignment.
Right, exactly. The biggest thing is really with kids and even adults, because as the weather changes, everybody wants to get in shape faster. It's about your progressions. So the three main training variables are intensity, frequency, and duration. And if you increase your variables too quickly, two by more than 1% or two at a time, you're going to have problems. And that's where people have to learn and take their time with their training. But people are in a hurry everywhere.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what I call it, the terrible twos, either too much, too soon, or too aggressive. You know, it's interesting. I wrote an article in 2021 in Lower Extremity
Review.
That's
actually perfect, actually, what you just said.
Right. Right? The terrible twos, you mix that into your nomenclature. I wrote an article in 2021 in the Low Extremity Review, and I said pickleball is physical. At that time, I was watching the beginning. No one knew how to spell pickleball. But right. I was watching so many seniors jumping into pickleball, not realizing, hey, man, this is physical. As have you seen that in your world? That, wow, man, you got people who are just not ready for an athletic movement event like pickleball.
Right. Well, you know, the funny part is everybody, like you just said, wants to jump into things. So I have lectured people every day about preparation and taking care of themselves. And some of the people say, I got to do all that. I said, well, you can lie on your couch, too, if you don't want to. But if you want to be active, I call it the three S's. Tissue's got to be made soft. It's got to be stretched, and it's got to be strong. And then you have other variables like balance, coordination, agility that come into play. But if those three basic things aren't being followed, they're going to have problems.
You know, it's interesting. A frequent guest of mine, the orthopedic surgeon of the New York Yankees, Dr. Chris Ahmad.
Great doctor.
He's been writing about the 50th anniversary, Gary, of Tommy John surgery.
Well,
and I'm dating myself. But
what's even
more amazing is that a third of these surgeries today are done on teenagers. Again, you know, we're getting into this overuse and too much and too aggressive. So, again, you know, as a physical therapist and working on so many different areas, and my understanding at the NFL draft, you might have been paying attention to all those hugs that were going on with these first rounders.
Yes. I was actually there. So.
Right, it was
interesting.
Yes,
the progressions, right? So I actually have a couple of guys in here right now from MLB, and they're in talent and performance, and they're just saying these high school kids are throwing 90, 95, and it puts a lot of strain on them. And if their bodies aren't ready to handle that, then they're going to have problems. So,
well, you know, bigger, faster, stronger. Who would have thought
right.
you'd see 6'7", 225-pound shortstops, you know?
Yeah.
Or these, again, in every particular – I have a chapter in my book. I call it the prodigy sports. Now, you as a sports professional, of course, like others, would tell parents and coaches, we want these young kids playing as many different sports as they can, use different parts of the body. Absolutely, that's great. But if you're a figure skater or a gymnast or a ballet dancer, sometimes we see these kids are specializing so early. That's when I try to get them to go see physical therapy to come up with a good home program.
that's perfect. Because if they're not strong enough, they're going to have problems. And they really need to put that work in. And it's breaking through a lot of typical kind of traditional things that they do and add other things. And sometimes there's a little resistance there with coaches, with parents, you know, with the kids. And you have to show the importance of that and how it's going to help them.
And again, you know, singing the song like we talked about, the foot bones connected to the ankle. Well, you know, 50% of the girls I've seen, including these high-toting tennis and volleyball players, are knee problems. And I'm a foot expert. So this is a big deal that still today, my friends in orthopedics and in general medicine, a lot of ways, if the kid's not complaining about their feet, then sometimes it's not paid attention to two knee surgeries later. You know what I mean?
Right.
So this is where we like to get beyond the same page with the importance of biomechanics. And physical therapy has always been famous. I won't say he invented it, but I think you guys came close.
Well, you know, the big thing is, like, right, the Q angle at the knee joint. And with girls, you know, especially as they start hitting puberty, their hips start to widen, and it places more stress on the knee. So what you were doing with your foot, with the orthotics and the alignment, helps that significantly. I have one girl who's actually going to West Point. She's a soccer player. And she told me last year on her team, they had 10 girls with ACL injuries. That's crazy stuff.
It is.
And I feel so bad because they're just not.
Well, I'm hoping before, for decades, but proactively female athletes, proper custom orthotics. And one of the big challenges is when I mention proper custom, instead of inserts coming out of our ears in every different direction, supposedly being a proper alignment. And I think that's a big deal when we talk about, like you just mentioned, is it still 5-1 or so, give or take, girls to boys ACL that you see?
From what I've heard these days, absolutely. It might even be higher because
crazy.
They really have, you know, their strength and conditioning program is so important. And it's, you know, sometimes it's a matter of body image and things that some of the girls don't like to lift weights because they're afraid what they're going to look like. But if they're not doing the proper stuff, it's just going to lead to problems.
You know, I have a contest every year where I ask experts like yourself what sports require the best athletes. You got a couple of answers to that.
Well, as I always say, it's bigger, faster, stronger. So look at the guys that are that size, and that's what the performance is going to be. You know, it's unfortunate, like with football, shortest career out of most of the pro sports, right? But those athletes are so big, so fast, so powerful, and it's very impressive to be up close and personal to see what these guys can do. You know,
especially as you've watched these metamorphoses, like talking about the female athlete. It's unbelievable when you talk about, like, when you were working with the 84 Olympic teams, I was putting orthotics in the volleyball player's shoes back then. And the incredible explosion of athletic ability in so many different areas, again, it's so much bigger, faster, stronger. We got to pay attention sometimes to some of the rules. You know, now you got 7-foot tall point guards.
Right. Yeah, and there's just a sign. I mean, they're so athletic. It's special to watch. It really is. And then I worked with the pro beach volleyball for several years, and those athletes are impressive too. Being in the sand, being able to jump like that in those weather conditions.
There's a piece of equipment I've been very, very excited about. I think I told Mary about it. It's called the Sand Dune Stepper, which is a piece of equipment that simulates sand-like resistance to really work that foot and the gripping powers of the foot.
Oh, that sounds very interesting.
Sand volleyball is one of the most demanding physical sports there is. I knew the time would fly with Gary. Gary, give me again the website. People could find out about you and the training center.
USATC.com.
USATC.com. Gary Guerrero, their head athletic trainer. You're on my roster, my friend. Have you back.
Thank you.
Hold on,
I appreciate
Gary.
Hold on.
We'll be right back with the Sports Doctors In segment, everybody. Hold on. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER Lower Extremity Review Magazine, one of sports doctors' key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor Is In article in each issue.
go to MVPparent.com. MVPparent.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is the Sports Doctors In segment where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. And a little Bob Guide of Wisdom with Dr. Bob. Answer a few emails. Very big, big shout out to the recently retired Mr. Edge, John Hermata, one of the country's leading boot, figure skating boot fitters, blade aligners, blade sharpeners, The Anatomy of a Figure Skating Injury, a great book that I participated in with John. I'm hoping to have him join us sometime in the next couple of months. We go back decades. Congratulations, raise a glass, Geppetto's, the great figure skating shop with my longtime colleague, John Hermata, Mr. Edge. Next week, we're heading to Australia. We're going to talk with Sue Williams, sports hypnosis. Then Joe Chura, back to Chicago, with his exciting non-alcoholic Go Brewing. Joe has been involved in community Naperville, Illinois relations in the world of fitness with the police department when he first joined me last year. We're going to touch base with what's going on with Go Brewing with him next week. Later on, Dr. Sarah McLeod, she's an addiction, a codependency expert from the National Publicity Summit. And again, speaking of non-alcoholic beer and then jumping into the following week with some addiction information. Hopefully Sheila Thielen and Vestibular Training Systems will be available on that date. Always great guests on the Sports Doctor. My Dr. Bob wisdom, again, is whatever your sport, whatever your level, whatever your age, include strengthening your feet and ankles. I remember, gosh, in the late 70s, early 80s, whatever athlete Bob Guida was seeing, whatever, from pros on down, Olympians, and he made sure they knew how to use those rubber bands to strengthen those feet and ankles. He had them standing on different kinds of cushions and pads and tilt boards, working again on balance and strengthening of feet and ankles. And this is something we pay big attention to this. In the book, hashtag, Hey Sports Parents, when I am discussing two specific exercise additions, we want youth sports parents and trainers, coaches to add, and strengthening feet and ankles is number one. Working balance is number two. Baseball Blue Book. You know, I grew up in New York City when Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, and Duke Snyder were playing center field for the Yankees, the Giants, the Dodgers, and I always thought Willie Mays was the greatest player ever, but boy, oh boy, there was so many discussions and fun stuff with family members, et cetera, in that situation. And we wanted to mention, because I just saw it's the 93rd birthday of Say Hey Willie Mays, and whether that catch he made in the 54 World Series was the greatest catch ever, I think it was. It's sure one of the top. But talking with some of these athletes and sports medicine with my previous guest, Gary, at the training center, it seems we see some of these catches in high school and college almost routinely. Again, Baseball Blue Book, your one-stop destination for all questions. If your son's a player, talking recruiting, coaching, etc. You know, Joan said, talk a little bit about, I saw your YouTube on socks on Run With It, the Christine Blanchett's British Columbia show.
Yes, Joan, we were talking about that socks matter. You know, it's a funny story I've told on the sports docs over the years where, you know, growing up, you got socks as the present, whatever, whether it was Christmas or Hanukkah or your birthday, it was, well, geez, you know, socks. And all these years later, style-wise and whatever, socks are a big deal. They're really cool in so many different ways, even fashion-wise. But we were talking socks regarding support. We're talking about socks regarding shock absorption. We're talking socks regarding moisture, friction, blister control. So all of these areas are very, very important. One of the supporters of the Sports Doctor, Hurdle Apparel, high-tech socks. We've had on one of their co-founders, Tasha Hayes, who was a part of the MIT program years ago in fabric technology and putting to use some of these different technologies regarding, again, the addition of socks. So much attention to shoes over the years, and rightfully so. And we're just paying big attention to the feet, strengthening stability. But what about socks? Ha! So and that article will be coming out, by the way, Lower Extremity Review in the next couple of issues, Socks Matter. But if you go to Run With It, the TV show, then you can pick up that segment. My segment is called The Sports Doctor's In, like it is on my show. Tom says I'm 45 years old. I'm a recreational runner. I was diagnosed with neuroma. Pain in the ball of the foot. Would you talk about that a little bit? Yes, the nerves that run in between the metatarsals, behind the toes into the ball of the foot, there's a particular connection, Tom, of these nerves between the third and fourth toe. When that connection is irritated, the nerve gets thickened. It starts getting in the way. We can get numbness, tingling, shooting pains. Sometimes a cortisone injection or two solves the problem. A lot of times we pay attention to conservative measures involving orthotics, redistribute the weight, take the pressure off. Could be a surgical problem. But don't do surgery initially. Look conservative. Thanks, everybody. Again, happy Teachers Awareness Month. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is a well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505. Or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, live radio, it's always an adventure. We're coming back a little bit in an additional segment here on the Sports Doctor is in a few more emails that we had left out. So it's always an adventure. And I want to get right to a few more emails on our segment here. Stacy, He says, I'm 55 years old, and I wanted to know, why is there so much attention to pickleball and pickleball problems? You know, Stacy, that's a great question. You know, I wrote an article in 2021 in Lower Extremity Review, an editorial, and it was called, I'm paraphrasing a touch, that pickleball is physical. I was responding to a few years before that I had two tennis-playing patients of mine came in. We were following up with Mary's orthotics. She was talking about that she was having some discomfort, and she said they're playing pickleball, and I looked at her like she was nuts. What are you talking about? North Chicago in that point in time. Gosh, it's got to be 6 years ago or so, 5, 6 years ago. And I started seeing at my club where they had a basketball court, and they were cutting it in half, and it was now being used for pickleball. Almost everybody was a senior citizen or older. And I was noticing and seeing in the office more people, ankle problems, shin splints, foot trouble, because they were jumping right into pickleball. It was so exciting. Yet, they didn't realize how physical it is. Like racquetball and tennis, you're changing direction, you're running, you're stopping, and all of a sudden, we were seeing problems. Now, the article, as a matter of fact, is being updated because there have been a nightmare amount of problems, whether it's being in the wrong shoe or whether it's not being physically ready, whether it's your shoulder and upper body or core, or again, it's the lower extremity, feet and ankles, knees. So not that you got to be a top athlete, but you need to include getting in shape or paying attention. One of my guests today, a physical therapist, we talked about that. The fact that, again, if somebody's looking to jump into a pickleball league, then seeing their physical therapist and learning some strengthening exercises or repaying attention to strengthening exercises at the gym, your shoulder, your elbows, your lower extremities, makes big sense. And again, pickleball is the fastest growing sport in the country. And therefore, the orthopedic community, as well as the podiatry community, the chiropractic, I spoke about that, with a certified pickleball instructor, chiropractic physician, Dr. Eric Williams, last week on the show. So the reason is, number one, it's super popular. Number two, a lot of people aren't ready. So pay attention. Jeffrey says, my son's 12 years old. He's had two or three episodes of ingrown toenail infections on both sides of one big toe. Could you talk about that? You know, Jeff, as long as I've been in podiatry, one of the most common situations we would see are ingrown toenails. Irritation, sometimes an infection from that edge digging into the corner of the nail, commonly big toes. Sometimes it's only one edge. Sometimes it's both sides of both big toes. And when there is an infection, and there hasn't been an infection before, most of the time what's done, including taking that edge out under local anesthesia, is a temporary situation. If the ingrown toenails have been recurrent, you know, Dr. Weil, this is the third episode. They gave him antibiotics. He did soaks. He paid attention to his shoes. We were, you know, they clipped it out, but it's come back. Then a common procedure is done, which is to cauterize the growth center. Behind the cuticle is where the growth center is of the toenail. So unless that growth center is paid attention to, any clipping of the ingrown nail, including taking the whole edge out under local anesthetic, is not a permanent correction. That edge is going to grow back unless the growth center is paid attention to. So talk to your podiatrist. This is a common procedure. It might involve a bandage for a couple of days. Somebody might back off their athletic activities for a week or two, but this is definitely a correctable situation, and you want it corrected and instead of just dealing with the symptoms, which sounds like what you've done, Perry said, talk a little bit about kids and cleats. My daughter's had heel problems in the world of soccer on and off. You know, Perry, this is something we see quite a bit. There's a large growth center in the back of the heel, the bottom of the heel. That growth center doesn't come together or solidify until adolescence, maybe 12, 13 years old in girls, maybe 14, 15 years old in boys. So when we, and soccer is famous for this, so is baseball, where, you know, we'll see 8, 9, 10-year-olds with cleats, where those cleats are sitting right under the heel. Or there are growth centers in the ball of the foot also. Those cleats are sitting right under the ball of the foot. So I recommend in all kids, go into a multi-nub shoe that has an evening out of the cleats, multiple nubs, regardless whether it's soccer, whether it's football, as a outdoor sports shoe that prevents that much pressure. When we see heel problems are persistent, ongoing, which is not unusual, often it's foot mechanics that's now related. Again, typically it's that flat type foot, excessive pronation, where now we have shearing force under the heel, which is re-aggravating that irritated growth center. This is where orthotics come in, where we've had great success over the years in adding orthotics to that young boy or girl's cleats or multi-nub shoe with great success. We also need to pay attention because often this kind of heel discomfort in these kids can fool you. It's not like we have a swollen, bruised heel. Sometimes there's really no specific physical sign. It just hurts. Might be initiated again because they were running up and down the stairs or they were just doing running, jumping activities. Again, sports like basketball, tennis, where we're really doing a lot of pounding, can be adding to the mix, or lots of running like we talked about, like soccer. So pay attention regarding cleats. You know, Jerry says I'm a 50-year-old walker. There are bunions in the family. My mother had surgery. I think she was 73 years old. I had surgery 2 years ago for bunions. Now my 20-year-old daughter, we see the same mechanics. You know, Jerry, pay big attention to orthotics. Make sure your daughter's adding that to the mix. Hopefully you too. After surgery, the dislocation of the big toe joint is a gradual process. What's inherited is not the bunion or the bump. What's inherited is the foot mechanics. Maybe those flat feet, maybe excessive mobility in that big toe joint, which gradually causes that dislocation. Again, sometimes we see that some strengthening, some stretching of that earlier or that area early on. There are various devices that could be helpful. Don't jump into surgery. Pay attention big time to orthotics, especially in sneakers when it comes to your daughter and you. If you had successful surgery, paying attention to the mechanics. Orthotics are a real weapon in that regard. All right, everybody. So that we'll catch you next week. Thanks, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor.